This episode is one of our more experimental ones, both in form and in circumstance. COVID-19 hit our team members in very different ways, which had us look more inward in how we were going to present this episode. So the first voices you're going to hear are my producer, Henry Ansbacher, and our podcast editor, Matt Struck. I hope you enjoy. Thank you so much for listening to the Selfish Latina podcast.
End of new messages. Listen, press 1, send. Press 2, check receipt. Press 3, personal options. Press 4, disconnect. Press star.
That was a big part of like what we were coming to in the jazz episode, which was when you were saying, so as soon as I thought this might be a story, I called my guys and had them come over here, you know? Because I want to get together. I want to get the band.
But I will
together,
tell you, as soon as I realized there was a story here, I was on it like white on rice. And I had these guys up here listening and convincing them that this was the next story we needed to tell.
Like, I like this unfolding over time. It doesn't have to feel like it's the same conversation or the same night.
Okay.
It's a nice little construction we could build. And I think if we start with, like, have you had conversations with your neighbor? Do you know that neighbor at all?
I didn't know him before this, but I mean, here's what I know is that he has a parrot, and I've seen the parrot a lot, like when I walk in the back alley, like seeing, because they barbecue a lot in the summer, and the parrot is out a lot. The one and only time I've talked to him was when he said that he's like, and this was like, I think the day of, or maybe the day before, he said, jazz, like, it's in times like these that jazz was born, you know? Mm. And I wish I was recording him saying this, because he's like, I'm encouraging my students to come out here and play and kind of embrace this time right now, because it's times like these that jazz was born.
Hello and welcome to the Selfish Latina podcast. So this is a time like no other in history. I'm recording this from my home studio, which is much different than where we normally record these episodes.
Inside thoughts out loud. Thoughts during a pandemic.
Hello, please leave a message after the tone.
Hi, Denise.
Give me a quick call.
Yeah. Hi, Denise.
We received so many responses.
Hello, buenas tardes.
When we finally get the ability to go outside again, are we going to be the same?
Jazz episode on a beautiful day. Got our masks on, got our gloves on. Interview with Denise, take one.
All right, so any other things you want to get to for the quarantine concert series?
I mean, there's also the like happenstance of like, you know, the Instagram that connected it to the wider connection.
Yeah, so here, so,
oh yeah, so I posted.
Yeah, so
is that
here,
a good story? Yeah, let's keep it short.
So here's some. You're just cracking yourself up there, huh?
Great direction. All right, and background.
Yes, tell that story, but not the full version.
So I was just getting some feedback on an interview here with Henry, and he told me to keep it short, which is something that's very hard for me to do. The first night that we decided to come out and like enjoy the music, I brought my phone and posted on my Instagram stories at Project Enya, and like from here, and we're two houses down here, but like from here, I posted a video, and the saxophone player was actually standing on the sidewalk, and I posted it, enjoyed the show, and literally the next day, someone that follows a project, her name is Gardenia, reaches out to me and says, oh my God, that's my friend, Rico Jones. So when we're working as a crew, I mean, making films, making videos, making podcasts is so collaborative, and it's so creative, and it really works best in close proximity to the people you're making it with. And it's been really challenging to work on these pieces with my team members, and and really only be able to do that, like, on Zoom.
Yeah, I feel like once I finally get in the flow of things, it'll be time to go back.
With any luck.
Yeah.
Dee said she was gonna join us, or?
This was her time. She'll be in a minute. I'll be on in a min. Oh, there's Denise.
Hello.
Wanna rattle off some of those ideas?
Yeah, sure. Connections that we didn't know were there. I was thinking that could be a way that we frame this jazz musician story, right? So we would be following up with the student who talked to us, following up with the musician who performed, and then...
Like, kind of like how we're all connected.
Yeah.
And like, then also, too, like, I think the illusion of uncertainty, like, I think that people, like, that's what I'm kind of hearing in this, but in a new way, but mm-hmm. that we're always, life is uncertain, and we're never, it has always been uncertain, and, like, people are, like, talking a lot about, like, in these uncertain times, as if all times were more certain,
right. But
times have never been certain.
Yeah, right. The illusion of certainty, or the illusion of stability, or consistency.
Yeah.
Hey, ba 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 da. All right, well.
Yeah, what if we did, what if we had, like an episode where, it's Denise just exploring, like, her neighborhood, and that's just one of the characters, you know? No?
You know, like, I don't know what that is.
Hey, man, I'm in the ideas. I'm in the business of ideas, okay?
Week 8 of the quarantine, and we've been howling at 8 o'clock here in Denver for weeks. And just about a few weeks ago, our neighbor started playing the drums, and very well, I might add. And then about a week ago, we started hearing other instruments playing, and now we're getting a full-fledged concert. So we've heard a few songs, and sounds like they're gearing up for another one.
My dad was a musician in this town. It was every time I saw him take it out, you know, like his horn and stuff at home. It was just like, wow, it was like something really cool was about to happen. It was really joyful because he was really good. He was a professional, you know, and I really didn't ever get to hear him up close that much, except for a few times a year, you know, when he'd take me to the gig, or maybe one time a year. And it was just so much joy, you know, and I work with kids a lot. Colorado Conservatory for the Jazz Arts is like an organization that is mentors high school and middle school kids using professional jazz musicians, and they're used to playing together all the time, you know, next to each other, physical bodies next to each other, playing music and communicating non-linearly through that art form. And, you know, then we couldn't do that anymore, and nobody could, like, and as musicians at this time, you know, like, I watched all my students at the University of Colorado just not want to play. I just started getting more serious about coming out and trying to play music by myself or with my daughter or whatever. And then, you know, I knew that these kids were back from New York trying to go to school. So I invited Rico and say, hey man, you want to jam, you know, and I didn't get a response. So I went back inside, and all of a sudden I got all the drums inside, and I hear this saxophone out in the front, and it's like, oh, okay. So I brought all the drums back out. We played another 15 minutes, and, you know, then Tony showed up, and then, you know, there was three of us, and then Alex, you know, and then four, and then people started finding out, you know, want to play the gig, you know, but...
Every day I have the flu. Every day.
excited. I'm really excited about it. I feel like Henry's just like in a bad way, so he doesn't like anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just like being a grump.
He's definitely feeling some kind of way.
Yeah.
And he even texted me and apologized that because we were gonna have a Zoom meeting this morning and he didn't make it. You know?
He didn't?
No, that's okay. I mean, I know that he's not. You know, he's going through stuff.
Right. It's like he's avoiding the one thing that can help us the most right now. You got to drive him to finish it. And I know if he has to show up, obviously.
Right.
But maybe we could do some work tomorrow if you guys come here early enough.
Okay.
Maybe we could do work. I don't know what we could do, but maybe make some progress on something so he doesn't feel like he's...
Well, and, you know, just give me some rewrites, you know?
Yeah,
Cause
that's good.
I've been with you guys long enough that I kind of see where... this kind of episode or can go.
Back to square one. California shuts down most of its public life for the second time.
Tonight, Florida shatters the record for the most new daily cases of any state throughout the pandemic, more than 15,000.
This pandemic is getting worse. He says too many countries are heading in the wrong direction.
I had, you know, a really bad week, you know?
You did?
Yeah, I just was like, just feeling like, what is going on? Like, how's this all gonna work? And like, some more financial concerns and just like timing and like, just so much uncertainty. So,
yeah, I mean, it's been an adjustment on my end too, you know, like kind of hard for me to get into it. I'm kind of just like, what are you talking about to the footage, you know? And like the fogginess of, just the change, you know?
Yeah.
Cause we had such a flow at the building, you know, it's like mentally, you know, you're there.
You go there and then you do the things. And here I just get out of bed and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Right. Yeah. I ended up coming to is that it's more of an issue of having these external things define us, and that's what gets us into trouble. So, you know, it's related kinda, but maybe just something for the future of another episode, because, you know, I think that sometimes we do get hung up on like, you know, our career can define us, a relationship can define us. And when things are frozen, you're like, oh no, I was supposed to do something great. You know, we were supposed to have this big meeting. And it's like, no, there's something more internal, like intrinsic to us that's important.
It reminded me that, I had a conversation with my psychologist and they were like, so it sounds like you're depressed. I was like, okay, maybe I'm depressed. And then she started talking about things that, you know, you need to do when you're depressed. And she's like, well, you're finding things that are joyful. And that is a legitimate treatment plan for depression. That was a big part of, like, what we were coming to in the jazz episode, which was when you were saying, so as soon as I thought this might be a story, I called my guys and had them come over here, you know? Because I want to get together. I want to get the band back together, you know?
Yeah.
So to me, and then it was like, and that's why the band's playing, because the band needs what the band gets when they play. They get fed that. And that's why the audience is here, because they're getting fed. And this is a thing that happens that we can all use right now because of this crazy situation we're in. And then just kind of break down a little bit how that works. Like, it's just getting more joy, finding, giving yourself permission and seeking that out is a real strategy for how to get through this. Mm-hmm. And if you fail to do that, or you forget to do that, or you don't consider doing that, it's harder to be in this space if you can't find places that tap into some joy.
So Rico is short for what? Federico?
Rico.
Just Rico.
Too many Ricardos in the family.
Oh, too many Ricardos.
But he's Hispanic, you know, my wife's Hispanic.
And where's she from? Original.
She's from Fort Lupton, but her parents were from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So, his name is Rico Gabriel Falcón Jones.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
All four of them, you know.
Rico Gabriel Falcón Jones.
Yeah, so. he you know what, he started playing the harmonica. out on a vacation to Yellowstone. Yeah, it was Yellowstone. He bought a harmonica in a gift shop, and on the way back we had some Louis Armstrong playing, and he started to toot the harmonica, and he got pretty rhythmic with it. So we go to school the next year, summer's over. They want him to play the tuba. He says, I'm not playing a tuba. If I play anything, it'll be a saxophone.
Oh, wow.
So I said to the guy, you have a saxophone I can rent? He says, yeah. So I got it tuned up. He played by ear for 2 years.
Oh my gosh, because he just played by ear. Oh, that's so cool. So this is Matt. He's someone else on our team. This is Rico.
Hey.
And then you guys.
Sure.
And you're going to want him to play with you guys.
Yeah, his brother was amazing.
It's just what brings me joy, you know. And if I'm lucky enough to bring other people happiness by performing music with my friends, then that's, you know, a plus. It's an added blessing to it. But for me, this is an integral way I express myself. I've been playing for 10 years, like, nonstop. Like, I've been practicing as hard as I can. You know, of course, I'll take breaks periodically, but for the most part, especially the past 2 or 3 years, I've just been gigging and composing and practicing and traveling a lot. So it was kind of a needed break, honestly. I was pretty physically exhausted.
It's kind of nice to take a break.
But my body needed it more than my mind, I think.
This is my friend Heidi Todd, and I was happily surprised to bump into her that night. She brought up a post that I had made on Instagram about showing up for an interview on Telemundo, needing to be 100% fluent and not being fluent. And she wanted to understand a little bit more about it.
No, I didn't Google it. I read what you wrote, and I was like...
Oh, wait, yeah, and I posted it. I posted the link.
I'm like, holy shit, that took some guts.
Oh, my gosh, girl,
because, like,
yes.
You have to be able to speak Spanish or whatever, then what happens if you come out and you're just, like, don't know a word or something? You know what it reminded me of?
What?
The Selena movie.
Oh, my God, yes.
Where she's like, I've been singing Spanish my whole life, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes on there. You know what I'm talking about? The Jennifer Lopez scene.
Yeah. And then she goes there, and then she charms the hell out of them.
Yo estoy muy excited.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know how to say emocionada. And I was like, so I had that scene in my head as I'm reading your
Yeah.
Growing up, if you don't feel like you have an identity, then you're kind of lost a little bit. You don't know where to connect with. And I feel like growing up is like, I understand the concept from my dad, because he was born in 1922. My dad was.
Whoa.
Yeah, he was.
Whoa.
50, he was 50 when I was born.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And growing up in a very small town on the Western Slope, anybody who had dark skin would get taken out to the outside of town and get beat up. Or if they spoke Spanish, you get outside in town beaten up.
Oh my gosh.
And he's the one who dictated to my mother not to teach us Spanish.
Yeah.
Because of discrimination.
Sure.
And to make sure that we were as fair and have much privilege, you know, as other people, because he didn't want things to happen to him. But that was 3 generations, you know, because of his age. Casserole or a hot dish. I didn't know what the fuck a tuna casserole was.
Oh my god,
life,
me too.
Right?
I remember the first time I had spaghetti. I was not.
Tuna casserole with shit on top? Like,
yeah, that would be like disgusting.
I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, yeah. Well, what do you guys eat? Well, we eat fideo, we eat beans, we eat rice, we eat green chili and tortillas. And like, so I'm like, in my house, we have a whole different subset of food and another language going on. But again, I'm not Mexican. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Mexican to who?
Right, and then if you go to Mexico, how I grew up was not even Mexican in Mexico, because
uh-huh.
It's very southwestern,
yes.
Our food and stuff.
So I always say I'm not the Enya police. Do you know what I mean? But I do. When people are like, well, what am I? I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm like, don't let me tell you what you are. Like, that is for you to define yourself.
Right.
There's got to come a time where we believe we can prevail. And there's got to be a time where we decide we will not be victimized by this another day. And stand together instead of shredding each other and like evaluating each other on each other's Spanish or how Latino we are or how privileged, you know, like there's so many kind of points to identity that our community we evaluate ourselves on. Oh.
No, you're good. Are you kidding me? It's fine. It's just a car.
But I lived believing, I mean, I lived having all those same ideas and all those same struggles and everything. Like that, yeah. If I didn't, the project wouldn't exist. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. This conversation with Heidi and being able to talk about my work when I would otherwise, you know, just be enjoying this amazing summer night in the grass with my neighbors just took the night over the edge and made me feel like the world is different and the places that I have these conversations are different places and spaces, but something about it made me feel like if the music plays on, then so does our work. It can still exist. It's intertwined.
Something while we were just talking, I don't know if either you noticed it last night, but every once in a while the bass player just was like kind of seemed off
mm-hmm.
a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it was like interesting, and I was wondering like, does he know he's off? And I just looked at the other people, and there was like kind of like a no judgment, you know?
Oh.
So it's not like their purpose is to hit the perfect song
yeah.
every night.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone's off on a couple notes, it's okay. You know?
Uh-huh.
And, like, that's kind of how teams are too.
Where, yes.
You know, if sometimes I think all of us, you know, might be off in the notes we're playing.
Yeah. Aww. Like now.
That was the perfect sight gag. You all missed it, but the mic hit the ground.
Right.
If you understand the history of jazz and how it came about and the adversity that was going on in the country, you know, and just like how transcendent that music was for that culture, you know, and the way it came about and how it's always been expressed that way, you know, in the midst of adversity. You know, it's a very joyful music. It's America's music. It feels like that's what needs to come out, you know. Now, I wasn't thinking of all that when I started doing this. I think it feels as if it wasn't my idea. I was just being used by something, honestly, you know? And I can't take any personal credit for it. I just did what I felt like needed to happen at the time. And now in retrospect, you can make up a whole story that goes with it, but it was really just like, no, man, this is, you know, a lot of suffering out there, and I music has saved me and almost killed me at the same time. So, you know, it's like, it's depending on how you look at it.
This night really hit on all cylinders for me because my neighbors were there. We were sitting in the grass under the stars. And on top of everything, I get to have a conversation about my work that brings me so much joy. It just was the most perfect night and made me realize even though the world is so pear-shaped right now and so bizarre that something is still right. Something still makes sense. And joy is still available to be experienced, whether it's two doors down or somewhere else. Joy is here. It's available. We can sit back, sit on the grass, and listen to it and have conversations. As long as they keep playing, I will believe that everything is going to be okay. We make sure to keep all of our podcast episodes available on all platforms. Our Facebook group is free to join, and we keep access to our film available to screen in your home for free. If you are an ambitious Latina and have a big idea, then now is the time to make the leap. Your idea deserves to be supported and taken to the finish line. Our podcasts are like little mini documentaries, and thanks to my producer and the editing team, we put together a small sound collage of the testimonials about EDA, and I would love for you to hear it.
When I joined EDA, it wasn't just about education. The fantastic thing about what Denise has set up is that she's created an environment where women can come together, and it's almost like a sisterhood of understanding.
The experience has been profoundly healing. I have felt like I have finally connected with other Latinas that are ambitious and heart forward.
And I truly was able to kind of reconnect to who I was and reconnect on a bigger level, and being more bold and not being afraid to go after a pretty big, huge goal.
I think even as Latinas, we are not taught to ask for help. And so we're like, yes, okay, I just need absolutely to figure out how to fit this time in for my self-care. And it's like, okay, I'll just sleep 1 hour less so I can go get a massage. And it's like, no.
I had the dream of becoming a TEDx speaker, starting a membership, creating a course, starting my business essentially, and growing an audience and a following. So since I started working with Denise, specifically through EDA in June of 2019, I have been able to do all of those things. I now have over 3,000 followers on Instagram and over 1,000 followers on my podcast account. One of the things I love about working with Denise is that she pushes you to stretch, to go outside your comfort zone, but in a safe way, in a loving, compassionate way that makes you actually excited to take those risks, because you know you're supported inside of this beautiful community of Latinas that get it. They get you and they get it. If you are interested in joining EDA, welcome to the most amazing community and program that you'll ever join. I highly recommend it.